Amen. Hallelujah. You ready? Let's go to John 3:16. Glory to God. Thank you. We're going back to spiritual momentum, because God is saying that we get started and we get moving and something happens and we stop. Something causes us to slow down. Because the characteristics of momentum is, first of all, it's single-minded. It's unwavering in its pursuit of a goal. It has passion that knows no limits. It demands concentrated intensity and a definite sense of destiny. So you have to know who you are, and you have to know where you're going. It has boundless vision, and it's committed to excellence. That means, folks, whatever it takes for us to be excellent, we're committed to do it. And if we're going to do that, guess what has to go out the window? Our egos. Can't have, I forget, I don't remember who it was. I think it was, who was the motivational speaker that was here once, Pastor Sarah? Was Les Brown. Yeah, he said ego means edging God out. We have to stop doing that. Some of us aren't aware that we're doing it. Well, God is going to heighten your senses, because we need to be aware of every single thing that we do. Because everything we do affects the kingdom. The words that we release affect the kingdom. So I have a question. What are some of the things God has told you you're going to do, you're going to become, whatever, what has he said? Just tell me. There's no wrong answer. Nothing. God didn't tell anybody anything in here? Write a book. Okay. Would you say that again? Be committed. Come on, just shout it out. Teach. Be a witness. Love. How many did he tell you had to take a vow of poverty? Oh, so what did he say about that? That you're going to prosper? Okay. They tell you you're going to need private duty nurses all your life? What did he say about that? So he said all of those. What did he say about enemies? What did he say about the power of the devil? You have power over it? Did he tell you that? Yeah. He said you can walk on what? And over? How many of you believe it? So the question is, why don't we have it? Why aren't we doing it? There has to be a reason. Look at Galatians 5. We're going to read verse 7 and 9. We'll read them in two translations for you. Starting at verse 7, Paul told that church, you ran well. I mean, you came out of the block strong. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Listen to how the Voice Bible puts it. Who has impeded your progress and kept you from obeying the truth? You were off to a good start. Good start. When that gun went off, you exploded from the blocks. Exploded. Your stride was going. Your head was bobbing, your bottom lip was flapping up and down. You're just running. Okay. Said verse 8, I know for certain the pressure isn't coming from God. How many of you have been feeling pressure? Just say amen. You don't have to. All right. That pressure isn't coming from God. He keeps calling you to the truth. We keep concentrating on feeling the pressure. He's calling us to the truth. We're feeling the pressure. Right? You know what they say? Just a little yeast causes all the dough to rise. So even the slightest detour from the truth will take you to a destination you do not desire. How many of you, when you examine your life, you find yourself heading in a direction that's not what you expected because it doesn't line up with what you think God's will is for your life? Somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, somewhere after you came out of the blocks, there was you veered off to one direction. And you don't know why. Where's my shovel? This isn't a weapon. I'm not afraid you're going to charge, storm the, not going to storm the pulpit. But we're going to have to dig. We're going to have to dig deep. Deep. Because some of these causes we have buried deep inside of us. Some of us are going to have to use something a little more powerful than a shovel. Some of you are going to have to get a jackhammer. Oh no, because you've buried this thing and you've encased it so that nobody can get to it. And God is saying, that's a stronghold, folks. We got to break through all of that stuff and get rid of it so that we can move in the direction God wants us to move, and then we'll have everything that God says we should have. But there's work we are going to have to do. God's not going to come with his heavenly excavator and do the work for us. He's going to identify it and expect that we do something about it. And the great news to me is that not only is he going to identify it, and we'll just leave it right here right now. Not only is he going to identify it, he's going to tell us ways and has told us ways to avoid it altogether. So we're running out of time. So you need a title for today's message? I'll tell you what it is. But see there, and I'm a little ahead of myself, and that's okay, because I'm not ahead of God. But there is a disease. You know, you hear about the Ebola virus, how it comes and people are concerned with it. We don't need to be concerned about Ebola. No, I'm serious. We don't. Not if we know who we are in Christ and we're walking in our authority. But there is a disease that's running through Christians that hasn't, until today, hasn't been identified. And it's so slick. It's disguised itself so well that some of us don't even know we have it. I know you want to know what it's called. This disease we have is called Achenitis. 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 Turn to Joshua 6. Tell your neighbors, yeah, I knew there was something going on with you. Okay. Achenitis. Achenitis. Okay. I may share a lot of scripture with you in a few minutes, in the few minutes that I have. But it's necessary. In Joshua 6, first five verses. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. That doesn't mean they were quiet. It means nobody could get in. They closed off all the entrances. None went out, none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, who said to Joshua? He said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. You shall do this 6 days. Drop down to verse 15. We have to do verse 4. Well, I'll just keep reading. Those of you that have been here a while, you're used to this. Pastor Clinton used to do it all the time. Okay. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. Verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time, it happened. When the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Say, the Lord gave it to them. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Listen to this. This is very important. And you, by all means. What does that mean? What does that infer when he says by all means? Yeah. Whatever's necessary, whatever it takes, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. He said, with everything that's in you, you abstain. Do not touch the accursed thing. Because if you do, you and your whole nation will be cursed. He didn't say might be. He said will be. You will make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. What the Message Bible says. It says, the city and everything in it is under a holy curse and offered up to God. Verse 18, as for you, watch yourselves in the city. I'm still in the Message Bible. Watch yourselves in the city under holy curse. Be careful that you don't covet anything in it and take something that's cursed, endangering the camp of Israel with a curse and making trouble for everyone. Folks, we have to be mindful of the world in which we live. And there are some things that we should not be a part of. There are some things we should not have our hands on. There are some attitudes that we shouldn't possess. Because God, we're going to see in a little bit, God considers them accursed. You say, well, what does a curse mean? According to the dictionary, it means under a curse, doomed, or ill-fated. And you know me, I like to know what God was talking about when he used that in the scripture. So in that scripture, it means appointed to God for utter destruction. And you need to think about that. I had a manager when I was working with Philip Morris, and he said we had to be at the wholesalers by 8 o'clock on Monday morning. And if we didn't, we were fined. We didn't care about the fine. They put all the money together, and the whole division went out for dinner on Christmas. So some of the fines were silly, but we didn't mind. I got to the wholesaler. I was running late, but I made it because it was still 8 o'clock. I got out of the car, and as I walked by him, I said, "Hey, Bob," and he was like this. Like, what? He said, it's 15 seconds past 8. I said, 15 seconds? It's still 8 o'clock. It's not 8:01. He said, well, let me ask you this question. If your car had a bomb in it and it was scheduled to go off at exactly 8 o'clock, I said, here's the dollar. Here's the dollar. Folks, if you've taken of the accursed thing, you've taken and you have mingled yourself with the things that God has set aside for utter destruction, and you're there and you're in it, what happens to you? But see, one of the things that we need to really understand is that it's not just you. It's the person to your left and right. It's your brothers and sisters in Christ that are in different congregations because we're one body and we have many members. Let's read on. God said, I've given you all, but do not touch the things that he has doomed or cursed. Verse 24, then the Israelites burned the whole city and everything in it, except for the things made from gold, silver, bronze, and iron, because those are the things God said, those are your spoils, you can pick those up. They put these things in the Lord's treasury. So at this point, as far as their leader, as far as Joshua was concerned, they did everything exactly the way God said. Joshua 7. I'm in the easy-to-read version now. And I found it strange that Joshua 7 begins, but the Israelites did not obey God. Then it said, there was a man from the tribe of Judah named Achan, son of Carmi, grandson of Zimri, and so on. Achan kept some of the things that should have been destroyed. So the Lord became very angry with who? The Israelites. See, this didn't start out by saying, but one person didn't obey God. It starts out by saying the Israelites did not obey God. And you could say, because there was one man that kept some of the things that he shouldn't have kept. And because of that, God became very angry with the entire nation of Israel. How many of the Israelites kept some of the things that should have been destroyed? One. God didn't say Achan didn't obey. He said the Israelites didn't obey. Verse 2. After they defeated Jericho, Joshua sent some men to Ai. Ai was near Beth Aven, east of Bethel. He told them, go to Ai and look for weaknesses in that area. So the men went to spy out the land. Later, the men came back to Joshua and was like, Ai's weak. We will not need to send all of our people to defeat them. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men to fight them. There's no need to use the whole army. There are only a few men there to fight against us. It's like, no big deal. We're the nation of Israel. We're champions. God fights for us. Probably in their war cry, they're saying, we were born to conquer, never to fail. We're Israel. We're God's chosen people. So you few men, you go on, take care of business. So 3,000 went to Ai. Thank you. But the people of Ai killed about 36 men of Israel, and the Israelites ran away. Champions, born to conquer. The same group of people, led by the same person that God said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. He said, I'm giving you this land. The Israelites ran away. The people of Ai chased them from the city gates all the way to the quarries. The people of Ai beat them badly. When the people from Israel saw this, they became very frightened and lost their courage. That's why some of you feel weak and defeated, because you have Achanitis and it's taken away your courage. You're holding on to some things. Some you may know, some you may not know. But you're holding on to some things that God said, let them go. This is not of me. It's not for me. And I have doomed this thing to utter destruction. And when it's destructed, I don't want you around. So get rid of it. Get rid of it. We're still holding on to them. And it's causing you to live life defeated. Not like a champion. Like you were born to lose. And it even affected Joshua. Because he didn't understand what was going on. He said, Lord God, you brought our people across the Jordan River. Why did you bring us this far and then allow the Amorites to destroy us? See, he wasn't used to losing any men. They just wiped out Jericho. No casualties. Now they go to this weak little city and 36 men get killed. And now they're concerned. See, what happens is, look, it's just like, I know I use this analogy a lot, but unfortunately for him, it just fits. I mean, everyone thought Mike Tyson just couldn't be beaten. And everybody was afraid of him. They fought him for the money, but they figured, well, this pain won't last too long, you know, and he's going to hit me, I'll go to sleep. When I wake up, I'll get about $6-7 million. Okay. But once, because he held on to some things and did some things that he should not, he lost. He got knocked out. Nobody's afraid of him anymore. Nobody. Now everybody wants to line up to fight him. Why? He's now no longer invincible. And when those 36 Israelites were killed, Joshua was concerned that now all of their enemies now know they bleed just like we bleed. And something must have happened. God no longer fights for them. And now they can rally their troops and come against them. Joshua was concerned with that, as any good leader would be. The Lord said to Joshua, from verse 10, "Why are you down there with your face on the ground? Stand up." That's what he said. Stand up. "The Israelites sinned against me." Again, remember, he didn't say Achan. He said, "The Israelites sinned against me. They have broken the agreement that I commanded them to obey. They took some of the things that I commanded them to destroy. They have stolen from me." Kind of makes you think about tithes and offerings. Because you'll see in a few moments, Achan didn't just take some of the accursed things. He took something that God said goes into the treasury. He took that also. That's why God said, "It's stolen from me. They've lied to me," because he went on about like he did everything that God said. Tell your neighbor, see, God's watching us. Okay. That is why the army of Israel turned and ran from the fight. They did that because they have done wrong. They should be destroyed. That's what God is saying. But now listen to this, folks. This sent chills down my back. And it's doing it now as I'm reading it. This is God speaking to Joshua. "I will not continue to help you or be with you unless you destroy everything I commanded you to destroy." Yeah. That's rough. That makes you think, what are some of the things God told you to get rid of, stop doing, and you continue to do? He said, "I will not continue to help you or be with you unless you destroy everything I command you to destroy. Now go and make the people pure. Tell them, make yourselves pure. Prepare for tomorrow. The Lord, the God of Israel, says that some people are keeping things that he commanded to be destroyed. You will never be able to defeat your enemies until you throw away those things. You will never be able to fully walk in being a champion until you get rid of everything God says you need to rid yourselves of, regardless of what it is or who it is. If God says it's got to go, it's got to go. If God says cut her loose, cut her loose. If God says don't see him anymore, don't see him anymore. God doesn't care if she has an hourglass figure or he has green eyes. He's not impressed with any of that. He's saying, it's as far as you're concerned, it's an accursed thing. If you want my help, you got to let this go.
Right.
Got to let it go. Doesn't matter how long you've had it. Doesn't matter what type of a memento, heirloom, I don't care what it is. If you don't let it go, you break the agreement with God. You break it. And he told them, said, "Tomorrow morning you must all stand before the Lord. All the tribes will stand before the Lord. And he will choose one tribe," because he said he's going to expose this thing. Drop down to verse 19, because the next morning he took everything out. But one important thing that I need to tell you, and it's very important. He said he will look at each family in that family group, and the Lord will choose one family, and he will look at each man in that family. The man who is keeping those things that we should have destroyed will be caught. Then he will be destroyed by fire, and everything that he owns will be destroyed with him. See, you're not just putting yourself in jeopardy. You're putting your entire family in jeopardy. The entire family. Again, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or beat anybody down. We're digging deep. We're just digging deep, folks, because we have to dig this stuff up and we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. Then they did just what God said. They got everybody together in the morning. Verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, "Son, you must honor the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise him and confess your sins to him. Tell me what you did, and don't try to hide anything from me." Achan answered, "It's true. I sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I did. In Jericho, I saw a beautiful coat from Babylonia, about 5 pounds of silver and about 1 pound of gold. I wanted these things for myself, so I took them. So I took them. You will find them buried in the ground under my tent. The silver is under the coat." And so Joshua sent men to the tent. They ran to the tent, found the things hidden there, found the silver, brought everything out to Joshua and all the Israelites, threw them on the ground before the Lord. Joshua led all the people, and all the people, they led Achan's son. They led Achan, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and everything he owned. They took all these things to the valley of Achor with Achan. And then Joshua said, "You caused much trouble for us, but now the Lord will bring trouble to you." Then all the people threw stones at Achan and his family until they died. Then the people burned them and everything he owned. After they burned Achan, they put many rocks over his body. The rocks are still there today. That's why they call the Valley of Achor. After this, the Lord was not angry with his people. Why? They got rid of all the accursed things. And what God did, he got rid of not only the person that caused it, but he got rid of the bloodline of the person that caused it, because God was going to make sure that this thing was dead forever. Forever. So he cut it off at the bloodline. And those folks were innocent. They had no choice in who they were going to be born to. But God said, "I told you these things are not for you." I taught a lesson once at LCA in chapel. It was called Microwave Popcorn. It was about following instructions. Because everybody, if I ask, how do you cook microwave popcorn, everybody would have an answer. And practically everybody would be wrong. Because if you follow the step-by-step instructions, they tell you to do things that probably none of us do. Little things. When it comes out, shake the bag first. Open the bag facing with the opening away from you. What's the big deal? Because when you open it, steam could come up in your face and burn it. But the most important instruction on there that God highlighted to me was, it said, because there are always a good amount of unpopped kernels. And we don't think about all of the kernels that did pop. We think about those that handful of kernels that didn't pop, and we get mad, don't we? Like, why didn't these pop? I spent all my money, all 89, 99 cents. For a box with 3 bags of it in there. And I get upset because I have these few kernels that didn't pop. And the instructions say, do not attempt to pop these kernels. That don't even attempt to do it. Don't even try it. And I said, God, okay, you're giving me this lesson. Why? I mean, they're only kernels. I mean, you can pop. He said, for whatever reason, they're not for you. God said, these things are accursed. Why? For whatever reason, they're not for you. So why are you focusing on them? When looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as far as Adam and Eve were concerned, was an accursed thing. Don't mess with it. Leave it alone. Don't eat of it. But Eve said, this tree is pleasing to the eye and good for food. So was every other tree in the garden. We don't think about what God has already given us. We think about that one thing we don't have. God has blessed you with an automobile. Now it's about 7 years old. Runs top notch, still gets great gas mileage. But you find out that that same manufacturer has another automobile, but this one has parking assist. You just pull up, press a button, and this baby will park itself. But not only that, it reads the white lines. And it keeps the car in the middle of the white line. I could take my hands off the steering wheel and the car will stay in lane. Oh, I got to have me one of these. God is saying, you don't need to buy a new car. And you're walking around thinking, man, every time you park, I got to do this and do this. Get yourself in a laughter about it. And then you start looking. Then you start lusting. And then it's Columbus Day and they have a sale. You're like, this has got to be God. And you go and buy it. And all of a sudden the bottom falls out of your finances. And all this other stuff starts happening. And you're wondering, God, what's going on? It's just like you're not even there. You're driving around in a cursed thing. You talk about my car is a curse. He didn't tell you to buy it. As a matter of fact, he told you not to. And you did it anyway. And now you want him to bless it. Bless me, Father, even though I've sinned. I mean, it's Achanitis. It's Achanitis. And it disguises itself. I mean, it presents itself in such a way that you think, this is normal. We have this programming. Well, it's out now for programming. Just some of the commercials turn my stomach. But some folks, I look on social media and I'm looking at all these believers thinking, oh, nope, gotta go, scandal's coming on. I gotta go, this is coming on. I'm like, oh, why are we watching this? Yeah, honey, they have no idea what it's doing to them. It's an accursed thing, but it's disguised as something acceptable. See, there's something we need to understand about it. My wife and I, we went shopping once earlier in our relationship, in our marriage. And she saw something that she liked. I said, well, I'm going to get it. She said, no, I'm not going to buy it. Well, I make a mental note of those things. And so one time I went and bought it, presented it as a gift. She greatly appreciated the gesture. But she didn't really like the item. I said, I'm sorry, I thought you said you liked it. She said, yeah, I do like it, but not for me. So, but you need to understand something. I didn't say that just to be a funny story. Even though these accursed things present themselves as normal, they're not normal for you. even though they may be acceptable to the world, they shouldn't be acceptable to you. You can look at it, this looks nice, but it ain't for me. I mean, that's the way it is. We had a great time yesterday at the marriage meet and greet. But sometimes, you know, marriages get in trouble because folks are looking outside their marriage for whatever reason. They say, oh, yeah, man. When I married my husband, he was trim. I could actually put my arm around his waist and interlace my fingers. Okay. I can't do that now, you know. And I've told him about it and talked to him about it. And God, and so the devil sends somebody that reminds you of your husband or your wife way back when. It ain't for you. You need to understand it. It may look good, but not for you. Because what God has already given you is better than anything else that can come along. And we have to see that and understand that when those types of things come, they're accursed things. Amen. See, one of the great things about Achanitis, you say, how can anything be great about it? Well, it's treatable. It's not a terminal illness. I should say it this way. It doesn't have to be a terminal illness. Not only can it be cured, it's 100% preventable. It really is. You have choices that you can make. You leave service. You don't like something the pastor said or did, so you feel you go out to dinner or lunch and you start talking about him or her or them. God said, touch not my anointed. And he wasn't just talking physically. He was talking about the words you release about them. So when you make a choice to open your mouth and say negative things, you're suffering from Achanitis. You're touching an accursed thing. God said, don't do it, and you're doing it. He said, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but let your life be such that it exposes them. I had never read that scripture or heard it in my life until I find myself in what I thought was a bookstore on 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue before the mayor cleaned up that area. Turned out to be a peep show. Saying, what were you doing in there? They had called and needed an alarm system. And I'm looking there, and I'm like, what do I do? I can't go in there. And so the guy came out and he said, you with the alarm company? I said, yeah. I said, you're a peep show. He said, yeah. And I'm like, I can't go in there. He said, I don't like this either, but I make a ton of money. He said, I said, well, what do you need us? He said, well, folks are breaking into my machines. And so I need an alarm system where if someone tries to break into the machines, the alarm will go off. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I said, I can't go into this store. So I'm the youth director. I walk into the store. The devil will have it that as I'm walking out of the store, he'll have some of the youth walking by. And they'll see Mr. Carr walking out of a peep show smiling. Okay? They're not going to know that I just signed a big contract. Okay. And so again, I'm still learning some things. And I said, okay, I thought of the most ridiculous number I could have and told them, we can do this. No problem. It'll cost this amount of money, and it'll cost this amount of money each month. He said, okay. He said, okay. Because I'm going to have to spend $90,000 a year for security guards. And I'm like, now what? Because my mind did a quick calculation and I said, I just made $1,200. I just made $1,200. And before I could get thank you, Lord, out of my mouth, I heard myself saying, we're not going to do this job. Now, make no mistake about it. We needed the money. Okay? Vicky was going off to college. There were some fees that needed to be paid. That was more than $1,200. We wanted to move up to Rockland County. That $1,200 would have helped a little, but that's not what we needed. And I heard myself saying to this person, we're not doing the job. He's like, why not? I said, like I said, you're a peep show. I'm a born-again Christian. I heard in my head, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. I didn't even know where it was in the Bible. I had to go home and look it up. And I said, God told me I can't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. So I told him. He's looking at me. He said, we're legal. Not for me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be praying that you go out of business. And then I walked away. Now I have to call and speak to the president of my company. Because this was what we called the red hot lead. He had the crews ready to go. He said, when do we start this job? I said, we don't. He's like, what do you mean? What happened? I said, I didn't sign it. He said, why not? He wants us to do it. I said, it's a peep show. He said, I don't care. I said, I can't do business with a peep show. He got quiet and he said, you don't have the right to impose your religious beliefs on me. I said, you know something? You are absolutely right. I have to decide if I want to continue working for someone who would put their employees in that setting. And then I didn't say anything. Because, see, the first rule of when you close, to close the deal, the first person that, after you close it, you shut up. The first person that opens their mouth loses. And so I'm just holding the phone, just waiting. I was fully prepared for him to say, come, you know, turn in all my demos, you're done. I fully prepared for it. I heard, I hate it when you're right. No, but that's not all, because I said, I'm not touching this. I didn't understand it as being an accursed thing then, but I know I'm not touching this. So I had, now, the next day, I go into the office. President comes and says, Greg, I need to see you. Again, I'm fully prepared to leave because I'm not doing this. He pulls me and he says, normally I handle Brooklyn Union Gas Company. He said, because most of the monthly income comes from them. They're my biggest account. I want you to handle them now. He gave me the house account. There's no selling involved with Brooklyn Union Gas Company because then they weren't using anybody else. They call you, you tell them what they need, they say yes, that's it. I went there, I told them what they need, they said yes. I have $3,300 commission. See, God wasn't trying to keep $1,200 from me. He was trying to get $3,300 to me. And that $3,300 took care of what we needed with Vicky. And it was money we used to move up to Rockland County. Why? Because I wouldn't touch the accursed thing. Even though I needed the money. But I didn't need it that badly. And no matter how bad you want something, you can't want it so badly that you will disregard what God says to you concerning it. Okay? You have to stop giving in to the cravings of your flesh. And think about this. Again, let's think about what we have, all right? We have, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We have that. We have, my God shall supply all my need. We have, since God didn't spare his own son but delivered him up for all of us, why would he not now freely give us all things? One translation says all other things. So why do I have to take an accursed thing when I can have a good and perfect gift from God? Why am I in such a hurry that I will not wait on God and live? See, you're going to get the wrong thing and you're going to enjoy it for a short period of time, then something's going to happen. Colossians 3. I'm in the Amplified Bible, first 9 verses. I'm close to being finished. If you then have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Now listen to this, folks. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Tell your neighbor, time for you to look like you're dead. So that your new life can shine through. See, your new life, your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in the splendor of his glory. But here's where the work comes in. Here's where, you know, we're just shoveling away, okay? It says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. The deifying of self and other created things instead of God. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, among whom you also once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices, but now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things. Put them away. Rid yourself completely. So that means you're going to have to take out your map. 3 spaces to the left. Oh, left. Okay. 1 to the right. Take 3 side steps. Here's where I buried it. Dig it up. Throw it away. Actually, dig it up. You need to do what Pastor Clinton and Sarah did to that big horoscope thing. They didn't just take it and throw it away. They took it down, broke it into pieces, and threw it away. Why? They made it like Humpty Dumpty. Nothing could put it back together again. I remember as a youth director, I hope you're getting this, folks, because we're trying to prevent you. We're trying to squelch this epidemic of Aikenitis. But when I was the youth director, there was this video that we saw that I thought was great. Rap music, slang talk, all that stuff, but it ministered. And I was excited. brought it to the pastors. I mean, I was excited. I really was. And I came in, and I'm like, yes, can't wait. And they looked at me, and they said, no, we're not showing this here at the church. I was like, grumble. Like, they don't understand. Now, I got to go back to Destiny and all those other children and tell them no. And I can't just say the pastor said no, because that would show my disagreement with that choice. I have to go back and say, no, we've evaluated it, and we're not sharing. That's not something we're doing here. I mean, that's what you do. And the devil had the nerve to say to me, well, you can invite the children over to your house for parties and show them whatever you want. Yes, he did. Claire Huxman said, oh, yes, he did. Okay. Yes, he did. The pastors don't have any say over what you do in your house. They don't know what the young people need, but you do. This is what he's saying to me. I took this videotape, pulled all the tape out, and threw it away. Okay? And threw it away. Why? I wasn't going to touch that accursed thing. See, that's what the enemy will get you to do. He'll get you to put on a front here. See, you want me to come and smile in her face and in Pat Clinton's face. That's what's great, pastors, to hear from God. And go home. They don't know what they're talking about, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. This is my house. I don't have anything to do with my house. I hear from God. I'm his child, too. The Holy Ghost speaks to me. I have a brain. God didn't make me a dummy. No, you did that one on your own. Because that's what you are when you start going against the pastors he gave you after his own heart, whose purpose is to help you live, who's going to tell us things to help us have life and have it more abundantly. But we treat godly wisdom like it's an accursed thing. We have this thing mixed up. This is what we need to do. We need to be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Holding on to unforgiveness is holding on to the accursed thing. We forget what it says. We remember what it says in Mark 11, 23, 24, but we forget 25 and 26. God was very clear. If you do not forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. Period. That means, folks, he wasn't wounded for your transgressions. He wasn't bruised for your iniquities. The chastisements for your peace ain't on him. And you're not healed by his stripes. Why? Because you walked away from your covering because you refused to forgive. The scripture says, and if you use the definition of the word neither, the scripture says, if you will not forgive, not even your Father in heaven will forgive you. So if it says not even, that has to mean that nobody's going to forgive you. You're holding on to the accursed thing, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And that is the number one carrier of Achanitis. Unforgiveness. Self-righteous. There have been instances where someone may have done something to you, whether it's intentional or not, really doesn't matter. They realized it, and they've come to you, and they've said, listen, this didn't go the way I expect. I apologize. I'm sorry if I hurt you. That wasn't my intention. And we're like, I'm not going to forgive them. Really? and put that on you and your whole household? Is it really worth it, folks? Need to understand that. God was serious when he said that. He said, above all these things, put on love. Above all these things, put on love. That's what he said. We refuse to love. We don't have any problem with displaying the world's definition of tough love, because that way we get to tell people off and lie and say we're doing it for their own good. We're telling them off to get it off our chest. But I've told you this before. You know what? Tough love, the Christian definition of tough love, someone does you wrong, get tough and love them anyway. That's what you want to do. So you want to get tough? You're a tough guy? Tough woman? Love them anyway. Love them anyway. And live. Why hold on to unforgiveness and die? Everyone said, I'm getting rid of my aconitis. And they say, please help me. If you see any symptoms, let me know. Okay? See, unforgiveness is sin in the camp, and it can infect the entire camp. But God told me something at 12:30 this morning. I know that because of what happened to me when he said it, and I looked at the time on my computer. He told me something, and my whole body just went just like that. And I was like, ooh, no. And that happened to me two or three times. I mean, I thought the type, and I just, like, it's not like I didn't want you to know, but it's like, it's just unfathomable. He said, the reason unforgiveness makes us so vulnerable is because it masks, it covers, it hides the glory of God in us. God is love. We're made in his image and likeness. That means we're made to look like and act like God. Since God is love and love forgives, when we refuse to exhibit godly forgiveness, we no longer look like God or act like God. And the devil no longer recognizes us as God's property. We lose our protection. We lose our covering. My question to you is, who's worth that? Amplified Bible. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. How many of you could use good news right about now? I know I could in writing this. Here's the cure. Well, give you one of the cures and preventions. You don't have to write it down because you already have it. 2 Peter 1, first 10 verses. I'm in the Amplified Bible. 2 Peter 1, first 10 verses. I'm in the Amplified Bible. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence is something you have to do. You have to add your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge and developing, in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you. They will keep you. Keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his own sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure to ratify, to strengthen, and to make steadfast your calling and election. If you do these things, you will never stumble or fall. You will be inoculated against Aconitis. And you will never put your hands on anything that God considers accursed. Never. And you will only touch what he tells you to. Period. That's why I always confess, I'm only going to say what you tell me to say. If I move over into my own thing, I'm guilty of Aconitis. I'm doing something that God told me not to do. I'm saying something that God did not tell me to say. We have to be very mindful of that, folks. So how many of you can honestly admit that there's someone that you need to forgive? Honestly. Tell me that you need someone that's wronged you, in your eyes, they've wronged you, and it needs to be made right. Just wave at me. You don't have to stand up. Just raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Just wave them. Well, you need to fix it. That's all. Just fix it. How many of you are holding on to some things that God has told you to let go? Come on, are we being honest? How many of you need to dig up some stuff? Get rid of it. So when you leave here, instead of going to get something to eat, go get your spiritual shovel. Take care of business. Take care of business. How many of you realize that you've been suffering from Aconitis? Come on, stand on your feet. I know this is not one of those we're going to run, we're going to jump, we're going to dance type hearing. But folks, we have to get to the place. Step one is being honest with ourselves. Okay, we got to be, I have to be honest with myself. I have symptoms of Aconitis. And there's some things that I needed to do. So it happens. We're not saying that you deliberately, most of you don't even know, don't even realize, because it's disguised in such a way that it makes it seem normal, natural. Why? Everybody's doing this. You even see other Christians doing it. Well, that's the problem. Country's concerned about this outbreak of Ebola. You see other folks with that. You don't want to say, oh, I got to have this. No, so just because a bunch of people have it doesn't mean that it's right for us. That's what we have to understand. So now, how many of you will admit that to some degree or another, you were infected with aconitis? Raise your hand. Okay, see, that didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. You're just acknowledging that there's something you need to take care of it. Now, you just take a moment right now, and you tell God that you're going to fix it. Go ahead, you tell God. You speak it out. You know, your neighbor's not listening to what you're saying. Remember, no, they have their own fish to fry. But we got to get this thing right, folks. Because, listen, if it's affecting you, it's affecting this ministry. If it's affecting your finances, it affects ours. Because if it's affecting your inflow of seed, what are you going to sow? You think about that. It's affecting your relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your nieces, nephews. And everyone say no more. Say it like you mean it. And we have to get serious. We have to get radical with this thing, folks, because it's very, very real. This wasn't just, you know, take an hour and tell you a nice story. This is dig it up, throw it away. Dig it up, burn it up. Whatever it takes, say, I am committed to do whatever it takes to make sure my life is free from anything God has called accursed. You can sit down. Thank you. Can we do champion again? See, because that's God desires for us to be champions. He really does. But there are things that we have to do to make sure that we have all that it takes to live the way God said we should live. Now, God's already provided it. This suit was hanging in my closet. It doesn't benefit me unless I take it out and put it on. Guess what? While I'm sleeping, it's not going to come out of the closet and creep into our bedroom and put itself on me and say, you wearing me, that's it. No, I had to make a choice. God said, this is what I want you to wear. I had to say, okay, and then I had to clothe myself in what he said. That's what you have to do. You have to clothe yourselves in every word. I mean, we quote John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, what are they? They are spirit and they are life. Well, since we know what God says is spirit and life, why don't we put it on? But in order to put on, I had to take some things off. If I walked around in my jeans and stuff and then put this on over it, you look at me like I was crazy. Well, that's the same way we look to God, I imagine. We're trying to put on his robe of righteousness over all this other stuff. We're trying to offer him praises, and our hearts are filled with unforgiveness. We have to do something about that. God called you to be a champion. It's in your DNA. Yes, you may shed a tear because you have to go and apologize right now. See, we know that some of you are upset with this church for whatever reason, for whatever may have happened from however many years ago. Well, right now, today here, because Pastor Ed's on vacation, I represent the ministry. Pastor Sarah is emeritus. She's retired. So those things come on our shoulders. So if we've ever done anything that caused any of you unnecessary grief or you felt, you know, misused or mistreated or whatever, I apologize. We apologize because that's not our purpose or intent. And we need you to forgive us. We need you to forgive us because we're endeavoring to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness. Period. No sin too great. None.